Pizzola, who is the opposite of Struds today. Strutty was driving through the city like he was on a raceway, never hitting a red light.
Lucky.
Strutty, meanwhile, Tommy was driving home from reading week. Now, is it true that you need a step stool so you weren't the shortest one in the school?
Oh, my. Well, I'm going to tweet out a picture that was sent to me from the fine folks. Good friend Denusia Gale, who I went to high school with, asked me to go to St. Lucie's. Where you will be able to see that I did not need a stepping stool.
Okay.
I did not need somebody
to
like pump me up.
You're in the grade one class?
Well, kindergarten through grade four. Awesome time, though. Great to kick off Reading Week. And nice to be back on the north side. I don't get there as often as I probably should. I should probably go visit mom and dad a little bit more.
It's probably a lot of red lights over there.
There was a lot. You know what? I was joking. I'm listening to you guys. Strutty tells me about this dream drive home from Grand Trunk. I'm literally like 10 blocks away, and it takes me 15 minutes. There's construction. There's a 105th Ave. You can't go eastbound behind, like take a back road to my place. You can't turn left onto 104th Ave. Just unbelievably frustrating while I'm listening to him talk about how smooth of a ride he had all the way to the south side from Grand Trunk. And Kane doesn't appreciate it. Greggs, I will say, I appreciate you teaching Beckett the subtlety
wave.
Of the wave.
It's
a pet peeve of mine. I always wave. And when I don't get one back, I feel slighted.
I think we should start maybe I'm going to get some stickers the Gregor Show Wave Club TSN 1260.
I'm all for it.
If you're a waver, you put it back on and people be like, oh yeah, see, look. Because our listeners are pretty smart. I think we have the politest listeners in the city. So something to think about.
They turn on their lights, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, we're lights on, people. Lights on.
Yep.
Wax on, wax off. Lights on. Let's go. Speaking of smooth sailing, I think there's obviously some players in the Oilers roster we know are going to be there come opening night next Wednesday. The left spot defense, Ken Holland said, hey, it's Philip Broberg's to lose. Now, I don't believe that Broberg has been awful. Some people are saying, oh, Nima Linen's been better. I think he's been a little bit more noticeable because he's physical, right? Physical is one element. Does he move the puck better? Is he skating better? There's lots of other things. Where do you put it? Is Dmitry Samarkov, if you put in Murray, Broberg, Samarkov, and Nima Linen, where do you rank him out of those four right now?
I know you guys have been talking about Samarkov, and understandably, I would put him behind Nima Linen. I think what Nima Linen did last season gave him a head start. I think what he's doing right now in camp has also put him ahead of Samarukov. And there's nothing to take away from what Dmitry Samarukov's been doing. But I just think, like you said, Greggs, more noticeable from Nima Linen. Murray's probably going to be there, and it is Broberg's job to lose. I don't think he's losing it, even though he might not be getting everyone's attention the same way a Marcus Nima Linen might be. So Samarukov, it feels like, yeah, he's been pushing, but can't seem to get over the hump. And that game he got last year in St. Louis, that's not a good gauge of what Dmitry Samarukov really brings to the table in the National Hockey League. What do you have, like three shifts, minus two? I think he deserves another shake. At what point? I don't know, but he can do himself a favor or two playing a good game tonight. But, guys, honestly, I think that it's still Philip Broberg's job to lose, and I don't think he's losing it.
I guess so. What would be losing it? What would that look like?
Getting roasted every time he's on the ice.
See, you have to understand it's preseason, and I think Greg's put it great when he talked about Nieminen and his physicality.
Yeah.
But I think Broberg's a more subtle game. And, yeah, I want to see him kind of ramp it up a little bit as he get closer. I don't know that today's really a real game, but maybe after that we'll start seeing more NHL-style lineups. No disrespect to the lineup that's being fielded tonight by the Canucks, but you want to see him kind of ramping up. And I want to see him skate, defend well with his feet, and make plays. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. The physicality, I'm not sure he's ever going to have that in his game, but most players don't. Look at Cody Ceci. He's not a very physical player.
Well, and those not soft Swedes, the smooth, silky Swedes,
right.
They're never knocking you into the wall every chance they get. They're technical. They're in the right place at the right time. I've heard you wax poetic about Nick Lidstrom. I'm not saying Philip Broberg's Nick Lidstrom, but Nick Lidstrom was so good defensively, but he didn't really crush anyone. Yeah. I don't really remember. Maybe he would angle guys off or get an arm into the chest of an opposing player. Just smart. And you could still be an effective defenseman that way, too. I'm talking to the defenseman guru right here.
Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
But I'm assuming that that's more of the route that we're going to see Philip Broberg take. And the fact that he got bigger and put on, what, 12 pounds, that's great. And he gets that man strength kicking in. But you're right, Strutty. Like, when he starts to wheel it up ice, if he sees a lane and he takes it, gets some offensive opportunities here and there, that would be great to see, especially this week with the games and opportunities he gets. But, again, I think him losing the job would be getting roasted, for a lack of a better term, which I don't think he has been. And that would entail just, you know, guys burning him all the time, and he's throwing pizzas up the middle and can't break it out and getting caved in every opportunity that the offense has coming against him. And I don't think he's had that happen to him.
No, and probably shouldn't happen tonight. It's not the strongest, like, no disrespect to those guys. Jack Campbell, get the full 60. You know, for a guy, I don't know that it's super easy for a goalie to come over to a new team. You know, I think that it takes a bit of time, but it's not the hardest landing spot here in Edmonton. So what are you looking for? Not just in this game, but, you know, over the training camp, what have you seen? And what would you like to see early in the season from the guy they call the Soup?
I'm laughing a little bit because when he made the save on the first couple of shots the other night when he played half the game, I was like, okay. So that's what it's like when you get first shot saves in a game. Because so many times last year on the pre- and post-game show, we were talking about goals that were going in on all three goalies. I won't just paint that as a Mikko Koskinen thing, because Smith got burnt on it a bunch of times. Stuart Skinner, a few of his starts even had that happen. And just that solid, consistent play, he didn't have to be over the top great. There weren't moments, even though he only made 7 saves on 8 shots, Strutty, in his first look, which it was okay. It just looked like he was solid and composed, comfortable, never scrambling in his crease. As Matt Cassie in our pre- and post-game show analyst says, he wasn't swimming in the crease as well. He used to talk about Mikko Koskinen in that way. And calm, cool, and collected from Jack Campbell. Stuart Skinner did the same thing. Calvin Pickard, when he's been in. The goaltending has been pretty sound, I think, throughout this preseason.
Yeah, calm. That's how, for Skinner as well. Joined by Tom Guzzola here on The Gregor Show. I'm Jason Stradwick, and I'm hogging the mic right now, but I'll let Gregor jump in again. Jay Woodcroft, this has been a pretty low-event training camp.
Totally.
You know, when you factor in maybe competition, injuries, massive changes to the roster. Like, the goalie's a pretty big one, but, you know, he's coming in. It's a little different than maybe a big winger, like we would have brought Kane in, or they brought Kane in. So when the team is settled, and let's just say the team settled in 5 days, just to make it easy, what do you think then becomes a big area of focus for the good-looking Jay Woodcroft? Again, I don't know who made that vote. But
the best-looking coach just ahead of Daryl Sutter, you say.
Yeah.
For him, yeah, you're right. It has been a very calm training camp and preseason as well. How does he want to define this team? I think on the defensive side of things is where you're going to want to see more consistency, less holes, not coughing up as much. And if they can find some composure in their own zone, if they can get a few stops that they weren't getting perhaps last season and the season before, I think that takes the heat off the defense, because the defense, I think, is the kind of the big question mark this year. Is like, what is it? Is it a good defense? Is it an adequate defense? Is it a less than adequate defense? Because, you know, there's some out there that look at that back end and they go, that's not very good. And I understand where that rationale comes from. But at the same time, you've got veteran players, some of which, you know, had tough seasons last year or had some tough nights, especially in December and January. But overall, I think if they get a few saves and they're not chasing games, the team, I'm saying, is, I think the blue line, if it holds up, it's not going to get as much noise as it did the last season or two. And so defensively, I think it's going to be a 6-man effort every shift, and that's like stealing a page from Jay Woodcroft's mottos and the way he likes to use sayings, but I think that'll calm a lot of nerves around the city if they look sound defensively, especially in their own zone.
I was going over the league, and because I had to daily face off that we had to submit our picks for a lot of different awards, and, you know, Jack Adams was one of them. And so I'm looking at teams and saying, okay, usually if you're a good team last year and you're the same coach, fair or not, a lot of times you don't get an opportunity, right? Jay Woodcroft was here for 38 games last year, so they would still consider him. He might get the the first full season? Not. And I was looking at teams, okay, with new coaches, and how many of them do I think are realistic? Not a lot. So I think Woodcroft will have a chance. If the Oilers, you know, if they win their division for the first time since 1987, and if the Oilers can somehow finish in top 10 in goals against, which is now, I know they were eighth once in 2017, but that really seemed to be the outlier if you can look at all the other ones. When he took over in 38 games, their offense, you know, their offensive production, I know people are like, oh, their offense went up, Woodcroft. Nah, I'm not sure I really buy into that because offense around the league for the top teams was all up. Yeah. But their goals against specifically at 5-on-5 went down significantly and they got into the top 10. And that's an area that I thought with you know, and I talked to Cody Ceci, and we'll have that coming up here in about 10 minutes' time, is just their whole philosophy 5-on-5 and how they approach it and them limiting goals against. I think that's going to be his whole focus.
Yeah.
Because even if you look in the playoffs, you know, there are some games where they're pretty high scoring. I still believe that he thinks if the Oilers are going to win, offense is going to come. You got McDavid and Draisaitl, they'll score enough. Right, I think they've got enough depth here that they can score. It's all going to be about 5-on-5 limiting goals against.
Yeah. And you saw him incorporate some wrinkles last year. Remember, we were watching those first few practices and the back checking and the backtracking. We made a big deal about it, but a subtle tweak, really, and it made a lot of difference. And then, you know, they started getting some confidence, and like you said, they're getting some goals, Greggs, and then they started winning games. They started out great with Woodcroft. And I think that's probably going to be the focus for him. Like, he started the systems work basically on day one of training camp. And by day five of training camp, he was already splitting the groups into two. It was essentially the guys going down to Bakersfield and then the guys competing for jobs on the big clubs. So you could tell that the plan of attack was put into place right away. And I kind of appreciate that. And let's see if he gave himself enough of a head start. And he probably was giving Colin Chalk a bit of a head start with his Condors as well to get their systems going. And when they had a shortened training camp like they normally do in the AHL, he was giving his farm team a little bit of help that way. But, yeah, systems play has been something that's been part of training camp for essentially the beginning. Like I said, outside of those first handful of days. Let's see if it has a payoff and a reward here and everyone's on the same page. This team should be good. Should be good.
For sure. Tommy, we'll see you at the rink. Have a good one.
Thanks for coming back to my place, boys. We're one big happy around the
coffee
table.
Yeah, well, there's
no
chips or anything, so it's preseason for Tommy.
You know where they are. They're in the freezer.
Yeah, I know, but they're in the freezer. I never would have looked in there for chips.
You should know by now.
I know. I probably should, but I would never think of that. But it's a good idea. I've tried it. I've tried the chips out of the freezer. I admit, it is better.
Yeah.
I'm just still not used to it.